Now we're turning again to the book of Luke, continue our study through the gospel given to us by Luke, verse 26 down through verse 33 of Luke chapter 1. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee, a certain city named Nazareth. And he was sent to a virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph, who was of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Mary. Now we have in these verses the announcement, and that's the title of the message, the Lord's birth announcement. Now oftentimes when ladies are expecting and they plan and have dates for a baby shower, they send out an announcement, a birth announcement, to let everybody know. Well, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is His birth announcement. We have in these verses before us the announcement of the most marvelous event that ever happened in this world. And you think of it, the most marvelous event that ever took place in this world, the incarnation and birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty manifest in the flesh. It is a passage of Scripture which we should always read, mingled with wonder, love, and praise. And our prayer for us this morning, that God the Holy Spirit may indeed fill our heart with amazement and wonder as we consider the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to redeem us. The Apostle Paul put it this way: without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Who is this one born in Bethlehem in a cow stable and put in a manger? None other than God Almighty. God Almighty. He is the eternal God, the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, I have three main points to the message. The first one is this: we see the coming of the Messiah, and we see the coming of the Messiah that it was a coming of humiliation. That humiliation was to begin even from the time of His conception and birth. Notice, there was a messenger, verse 26, sent, his name, a special messenger, the same one sent to Zacharias. His name was Gabriel, and he was sent from God unto this city of Galilee, named Nazareth. Nazareth. Now notice, who sent this messenger? God sent this messenger. God sent this messenger on a special mission of mercy, with a special message to declare the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the time that our God has determined to fulfill His promise, the promise of the coming of the Messiah to redeem His people from their sin. Remember we read in Matthew chapter 1, this same messenger said to Joseph, "Fear not to take Mary to thyself, for that which is conceived in her is born of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name," exactly what it is. He is the Savior. He is God our Savior, and He shall save His people from their sin. In the fullness of the time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem us. Now notice, Gabriel was sent to an obscure country, Galilee, to a despised place named Nazareth. He was called the despised Nazarene. I want you to hold your place here and find John chapter 1. You remember what Nathanael said to Philip, I believe it was, in John chapter 1? When Philip said, "We have found the Messiah." You remember? John chapter 1, verse 44. John 1, 44. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew, And Peter, Philip findeth Nathanael, and said unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? It was a despised city. He's saying, there's nothing in Nazareth that's any good. Can anything come out of Nazareth that's any good? And Philip said, Come and see. Oh, yes. Yes, something did come out of Nazareth. The Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty. Gabriel was sent to a despised city, to a no-name city, to a no-name woman. This woman was not in reputation. Gabriel was sent to a poor woman who was chosen of God to conceive, carry, and deliver a special baby. The Lord of glory orders all things concerning a special time, place, and all persons involved. All things are of God, of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. God sovereignly orders all this for His purpose and His glory to fulfill all things that He has written. This was done that this might be fulfilled. Now notice, He was sent not to a palace in Jerusalem, not to a rich and well-known family, but sent to a nobody, a poor woman, living in Nazareth. Both Mary and Joseph were poor people of the house of David. In verse 38, she says here, Mary said in Luke 1:38, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. And that word handmaid means lowly servant. I'm a servant of the Lord. And again in verse 48 of Luke 1, The Lord, my God, my Savior, hath regarded the low estate of thy handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. I'm blessed in the gospel. Blessed in the Lord. We see her low estate. You remember in Luke chapter 2, turn over there, when she was about to give birth to this special child conceived of God, when Joseph and Mary went to the city of David, called Bethlehem in Luke chapter 2, to be tacked with Mary and his espoused wife, being great with child, and it was so that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Luke 2 verse 6, And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. You know what that manger is? It's a cow trough. That's where the cows gather to feed. Because there was no room for them. You see, they were of no reputation. There was no room for them in the inn. They probably didn't have the money. If they had enough money, they could have found a room somewhere. They were poor people. The Lord of glory identifies with our poor and pitiful humanity. Even in His coming, He identifies with us. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Remember, Paul writes of him in Philippians 2 verse 5, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion or habit as a man, he was a real man. He never stopped being God. He humbled himself, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God highly exalted him. He came here to redeem us. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. He came on purpose. He came with a purpose to redeem. But he came lowborn of this poor woman. No place for him in any fancy inn. He's born out in the barn, out in the barnyard, out in the back stable, and put in a cow trough. My goodness. This is God Almighty who created all things. You see, he identified with our humanity. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Thinking about scripture over in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, for you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. Hebrews 2, 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, a real man. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful, faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He's our Savior. Mary's hope of salvation was Christ. I rejoice, she says, in God my Savior. But here we see the humiliation. The old timers call it the condescending grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be made of a woman, to be made under the law, to redeem us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us on that cursed tree. The second thing we see is this, God's sovereign election of grace, verse 27 and verse 28. God singled out this woman and this man for this special privilege. To a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Joseph and Mary, house of David. The Lord our God always saves sinners by his purpose and by his grace. The angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. We see God's sovereign purpose to save. You see, it's God who saved us. It's God who called us with a holy calling, not according to our work, but according to his own purpose and grace. Joseph and Mary had the same hope of salvation that we have, Christ alone, Christ crucified alone. God says of her, she is highly favored. God says of her that the Lord is with thee. You see that in verse 28? He says to her, Blessed art thou among women, not above women. Blessed art thou among women, Elizabeth says again in verse 42. Now, Mary, although chosen of God for this special, special task of bearing and giving birth to this child, conceived of God, blessed of God, that Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God, God the Son. Mary's a special woman, elect of God, chosen of God, redeemed in Christ. But now listen, Mary is not to be worshipped as a mother of God. Don't ever fall into that trap. Mary is never presented to us as a sinless woman, but rather a sinner chosen of God and blessed of God. Now, many in some religious circles make Mary a mediator, like unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary is never presented to us as a sinful woman, but rather a sinner chosen of God and blessed in God, for she said, My soul doth rejoice in God, my, what? My Savior. What did this sinner need? She needed a Savior, just like you and I. Now, a warning to our Catholic friends. Many will listen to this sermon that we put up on Sermon Audio. This will go up tomorrow or the next day on Sermon Audio. And our sermons are listened to on Sermon Audio all over the world. Usually 47, 48 states, and usually 60 to 65 foreign countries. So this will go up on the internet, and it'll go all over the world. But a warning to our Catholic friends who may listen to this. J.C. Ryle, an old preacher, back in England, middle 1850s. He's had this warning. And here's what some Catholic people have said. She is formally declared by the Roman Catholic Church to have been conceived without sin. Now, this is what the Roman Catholics believe about Mary. She's conceived without sin. She's held up to the Roman Catholics as an object of worship. Now, I've seen that personally. We're not so much subjected to it here. I've been to Mexico twice. Everybody in Mexico, except God's elect, are taken up with Catholicism. And in those old buildings you go into, they have statues of Mary. And the first thing they do, I went there and sat down and watched them as they come in. They'll come in and they'll come before that statue of Mary and they'll rub her feet. She almost has her feet rubbed away. And they'll do their sign and kiss her feet and they'll worship that statue. That's nothing but idolatry. She is held up by the Roman Catholics as an object of worship and prayed to as a mediator between God and man with no less power than Christ Himself. Now, isn't that sad? That's what Cody Gruber and Walter Gruber down in Mexico, they're faced with this all the time. Let us never pray, Hail Mary, Mother of God, full of grace and truth, pray for us poor sinners. Now, can you imagine even thinking about such an idolatrous thing? Still quoting J.C. Ryle, for all of this, be it remembered, there is not the slightest warrant in Scripture. Again, Ryle said, there is no warrant in this verse before us now. There is no warrant in any other part of God's Word. Mary is not to be worshipped whatsoever or prayed unto. You say, well, surely nobody would do that. Yes, they do. There's millions of them that worship Mary rather than Christ. The Lord our God used the body of this sinful woman to bring in His sinless humanity of our blessed Savior, as it says in Hebrews 10, a body prepared by God. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, verse 35, Luke 1, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Lord sovereignly chose Mary to be an object of mercy and Joseph for salvation, gave both of them special honor, gave her the special honor of being the mother of our Savior's body, His humanity. But she's not the mother of God. Not at all. Notice verse 28, Luke 1. The angel came into her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, not above women. She's found favor with God, grace with God. She was highly favored of God and blessed of God, as the marginal reference has on that verse, graciously accepted. She was accepted in the Beloved, the Lord Jesus. Mary did not bless God. God blessed her. God did not find favor in Mary's eyes. Mary found grace like Noah in the eyes of the Lord. But this is true of all of God's elect. Mary was elected and chosen of God in an eternal covenant of grace. And she was blessed with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly in the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is true of all of God's elect. They're all blessed in Christ. They're all chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ. And favored because God is gracious to whom He will be gracious. Let's see if we can find that in Scripture. Okay, preacher, can you make good on that? I believe I can. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Mary was blessed because of Christ, His death, His blood, His resurrection, His glory, just as we're blessed, chosen of God and blessed. Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father, verse 3, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. In the Beloved, we are blessed. In the Beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's elect are blessed only in Christ. True of Mary, true of Joseph, true of all of God's people who believe the gospel. They're blessed of God. Turn to Psalm 32. Who is the blessed man? Here's the blessed man. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. That's the blessed man. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. My iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. That's the blessed man. Who is the blessed man? Find Psalm 65. 65 verse 4. Psalm 65 verse 4. And you can run this reference all the way through the Psalms. Psalm 65 verse 4. You see, God's elect are blessed in Christ. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple. Blessed is the man whom God hath chosen. Our Lord said, you didn't choose me. I chose you and ordained you. Now listen to this. Turn back to the book of Luke. Mary's greatest relationship was with the Lord Jesus Christ was not her physical relationship, but her spiritual relationship. Let me show you that. Turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Luke 11 verse 27. Luke 11 verse 27. And it came to pass, as he spake these sayings, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. Verse 28. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. You see, it's not the physical relationship, but a spiritual relationship. Turn to Luke chapter 8. Turn over there. Luke chapter 8, verse 19. Luke 8, 19. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, naturally, and could not come at him for the press, this large crowd. Verse 20, it was told him, by a certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to see thee. And he answered and said to them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Behold, he said, my family. You see, his family is a spiritual family. His family are those who were chosen by his electing love, sanctified by God the Holy Spirit, made new creatures in Christ, redeemed with his precious blood, the apostle said in Ephesians 2. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. By his grace he's made us sons of God, chosen in Christ, blessed in Christ, as Mary and Joseph was chosen, true of all of God's people. Here's the third thing. Look back at the text. Luke chapter 1 verse 30, and the angel declares the gospel unto us. The servant of the Lord Gabriel said to Mary, fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. Grace in the eyes of the Lord, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, shalt bring forth a son, and call his name Savior, Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom no end. He has an everlasting kingdom. Now again, Gabriel, the servant of God, declares unto us the good news of the gospel of Christ. Just as God had declared through the Holy Scriptures about the coming of the Messiah, a virgin shall be with child. Unto us a child is born, a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor of the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Just as he said way back that it would come to pass, and it now is being fulfilled by the will and purpose of God. Call his name Jesus, verse 30. The same thing that Gabriel says to Joseph. Call his name Jesus, he shall save his people from their sin. The Lord Jesus Christ is exactly what he is called. He is the Savior of sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ came to accomplish God's eternal purpose in redeeming a people unto himself. This is what the Scriptures teach. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. The apostle declared, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Paul said, I'm the chief one. Again, he said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. You remember in Luke chapter 2, I pointed this out before. Turn over there to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. When the Lord Jesus, the young child, was 12 years old, and his parents were visiting Jerusalem, and they started back home, and after a journey of a few days, they found out that someone was missing after 3 days, and they went to find him, and they found him in the temple, Luke 2, verse 49, and he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? The first recorded words that came out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that I must be about my Father's business. The last recorded words found in John 19, verse 30. You remember what he said on the cross? When he accomplished all God's purpose, fulfilled all Scripture, he said, it is finished. It's done. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save his people. He came to seek and to save the lost. And my friend, he cannot fail. All that the Father giveth to me, they shall come to me, and those that come to me, he said, I will in no wise cast them out. And then I like this verse here. Verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now look at verse 32. He shall be great. Shall be called the Son of the Highest. He is the Most High God. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father, David. He shall be great. Now everything about our Lord Jesus Christ is great, isn't it? He is the great God. He is the mighty God. The Lord Jesus Christ is great in every aspect of his person. Who is this one? You remember what our Lord said? You've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father are one. He shall be great because he is the Most High God. The Lord Jesus Christ is great not only in every aspect of his person, but in every aspect of his office. For he brought in great salvation, didn't he? He didn't bring in so-so salvation. It says in Hebrews chapter 3 that he brought in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, he brought in so great salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The Lord Jesus Christ is called our great high priest, who did what? Obtained for us eternal redemption with his own blood. He is the prophet that is greater than Moses. You remember our Lord said, Moses wrote about me. If you would have believed Moses, you would have believed me. Moses wrote about me. He is that great prophet that God promised that would declare the will of God. And he is the great and mighty king. God said, I've set my king upon my holy hill, Zion. God is the king of all the earth. Let's turn and read that in Psalm 2. Turn over there to Psalm 2. God said, I've set my king upon my holy hill, Zion. He's king of all the earth. Therefore, Psalm 2, verse 11. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and he perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Verse 6 of that chapter said, I've set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. The Lord Jesus Christ is our great high priest. He is our great prophet, priest, and king. And he has, as it says there, look at verse 32. Given unto him, he is the Son of the Most High God. And given unto him is a throne. The throne of David, his father. He has this everlasting, eternal dominion like King David had in his day. The Lord Jesus Christ is the sovereign Lord in salvation. He will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. Remember when David came to the throne and he wanted to show mercy to Jonathan's son, old Mephibosheth, the cripple? The king spoke by command and said, Ziba, go get him. Bring him. He's mine. And Mephibosheth said, what is thy servant that you should look upon me such a dead dog as I am? You see, this king, who is King of kings and Lord of lords, will have mercy on whom he will. He prayed in John 17, Father, you've given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as you have given to me. John said in John 3:35, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Peter declared upon the day of Pentecost, and he said, this same Jesus you have crucified, he is both Lord and Christ. Now bow to him. He has the throne of universal dominion by the unchanging decree of God. Now listen to me carefully. You don't make him Lord by something you do. They say in religious circles, we'll make Jesus your Lord. You can't do that. You can bow to his lordship. You can acknowledge his lordship. God had made him Lord and Christ by God's eternal, immutable decree. He is Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of lords, and King of kings. As Lord, he'll have mercy on whom he will. Read on in the text. You see what it says in verse 33, Luke 1, verse 33. What does a king that's sitting on a sovereign throne, what does he do? He shall reign. You see that? He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob shall not be consumed. He reigns over the house, the spiritual house, of his Zion, his people. His reign is a sovereign reign forever over all things. His spiritual kingdom, there shall be no end over those given unto him in that covenant of grace, the house of Jacob, the sons of Jacob, sons of Abraham, over all Israel, his Zion, the church that he bought with his own blood, the sovereign reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen. The sovereign reign of the Lord Jesus Christ is not over a piece of ground in the Middle East. In some future millennial kingdom, they say, the premillennials say, that the Lord Jesus will come back and set up an earthly throne over there in Jerusalem and have blood offerings again. And he'll reign in that day for a thousand-year millennial reign. That's nonsense. The Lord Jesus Christ reigns forever right now, and there never needs to be another blood offering again. By the one offering, he perfected forever them that are sanctified. What about that millennial reign? We're in it right now. Tell me when he hasn't reigned. That 1,000-year reign that talked about in Revelation 21 is a type and picture of his eternal reign. He reigns forever, as it says here. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there shall be no end. His kingdom. He's the King of kings. All earthly kings of this world will all be made to bow before His sovereign throne and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's a good message that Gabriel brought, isn't it? Verse 30, fear not, Mary. God's gracious. You're going to bring forth the Savior. He will be the Savior of His people. He's going to be great. He's the Son of the Highest. He's the Lord God Almighty. He has the eternal throne, and He shall reign. And of His reign, of His dominion, there shall be no end. Now, here's the closing statement. May God ever impress on our minds and our hearts the greatness of our Savior, the coming of our Savior, the humiliation of our Savior, born of a woman, made under the law to redeem us. And let us never entertain weak and false thoughts of Him, but let us always worship Him as God our Savior, now and forever. Worship Him who is God. You remember what the angel said in Luke chapter 2? Turn there, and I'll let you go with this. When the angels appeared to the shepherds, and they were abiding in the field, verse 8, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, Luke 2, verse 9, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, He's the Savior, He's the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, and here's what I want to get to. May God ever put this in our heart. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward sinners through Christ, our Lord, our King.